Hey everyone, and welcome to Unconventional Wellness Radio, a powerful and inspiring podcast set to revolutionize and disrupt healthcare. It's time to put you in the driver's seat and be the force of change necessary for the lifestyle you've always wanted. Hey everyone, what's up? Frank Ritz here for Unconventional Wellness Radio, and today we're going to talk about something that is near and dear now to my heart, as it is one of the current ways that I am actually looking for in my nutrition. You know, with Unconventional Wellness, what we're looking to do is we're trying to look at, you know, nutrition, and we're trying to look at movement, and we're trying to look at getting better sleep and reducing your stress and being able to remove toxins in your body. Well, today's podcast episode is going to actually attack one of the legs of nutrition that I'm going to talk about as a whole on unconventional wellness, and that is of the ketogenic diet. But before we speak about the ketogenic diet and intermittent fasting, I also wanted to talk about the paleo diet. Now, the paleo diet is something that myself and my wife have been following ever since probably about 2000 and maybe 2011, 2012, when it was just first starting to emerge as an actual consideration for a way to eat. And that's what I want to make sure that we understand, is that when I talk about nutrition plans, they're just that. They're actually more of a lifestyle. And I don't want you to confuse it with the word diet anymore. Diet has such a negative connotation to it, is that, you know, when I hear the word diet, I think it's a fad, or that it's going to be short-lived, or it's hard to follow, or it has a lot of different things that make it very difficult for me to be successful with. And so when we look at the lifestyle of what nutritional pathway you want to take, I want to be able to create an environment where you understand the sciences as they are currently and what I'm actually doing in my own life in order to be able to help you make the decisions of those things that you want to do in your life as well. And so let me back this train up a little bit and talk about the Paleolithic diet, and then we'll kind of segue into the ketogenic diet. And then, of course, we'll also talk about intermittent fasting along with that. Now, intermittent fasting is up and coming. It is definitely one of the hot topics of health that I have seen on multiple health websites, as it is the thing that is going to finish out 2018 strong and then work its way into even 2019 as well. It is definitely gaining in more popularity in terms of the amount of effort and searches on the internet, as even the keto ketogenic diet, but the ketogenic diet is one that I like to couple with intermittent fasting as well. And so when we talk about paleo, we are talking about how ancestors of ours used to eat. The concept is that, you know, we didn't have an ice box or cold storage or some other way to be able to store food for future consumption. And so it is a understanding of the paleo diet is that we are, or the Paleolithic diet, is that we're actually going to be consuming those foods in a more fresh way. And so the foods that we are actually looking to consume are going to be high quality proteins. So that could be any type of protein. It could be seafood. It could be beef, you know, grass-fed beef. It could be any type of poultry or even pork. And we want to make sure that we get it from a very good source. We don't want to just simply go buy whatever we can find in our local grocery store without it being high quality meat. Now, the Paleolithic diet as well as the keto diet, I just want to say something quick about those, is that people think that we just need to become like carnivores. And that's not true. That's where people actually make mistakes on the paleo diet as well as the ketogenic diet, is that they look at it as a way of just saying, I'm going to simply just consume a lot of protein. And that never worked even for something like the Atkins diet. That's the reason why a lot of people did not do well on the Atkins diet, at least in my understanding of it, because they just did nothing but consume lots and lots and lots of protein. With the Paleolithic diet, the staple of any good diet should be the consumption of vegetables. And those need to become very, very high up on what we consume throughout that day. And I would say that it's something similar to like what I've seen on the Mediterranean diet. There's a little food pyramid for the Mediterranean diet where, you know, vegetables are the largest staple. And so what we like to do in the Paleolithic diet as well as the ketogenic diet is actually look at creating things revolving around vegetable consumption. Matter of fact, even just for myself, I like to eat one one or two vegetarian meals throughout the week in order to take a break even from the protein that I would consume throughout that week. So lots of fresh and wonderful vegetables, preferably organic. If you cannot find organic around you, go to your local farmers markets. It's a great place to find food that is grown using organic practices. Whether or not, they are labeled organic or not, those farmers at those farmer markets with those produce can actually let you know how they actually grew it. And the questions you want to ask them are, you know, did you spray it? How is your, you know, rate of being able to get it into the ground? How do you get it into the ground? What implements or what additives are we using to get it into the ground? And then how do you harvest and all those sorts of questions? So from seed to table, you can ask all of those questions, and lots of farmers, if they're doing it the right way, will not normally get squeamish, and they'll be happy to answer those questions for you. And it's a really great way to get your hands on otherwise organic foods that are just not certified organic or labeled with that certified USDA organic label. So vegetables, high quality meats, low amounts of nuts, and low amounts of fruit. Even though fruit is still okay on the paleo diet, you just want to make sure that you don't consume so much that you're getting a ton of excess carbohydrates, even though they are natural carbohydrates that are found in a lot of our fruits. So that is the staples, if you will, or the way of going about the paleo diet. And that's been the diet that myself and my wife have been following now as a base for at least 6 years. Maybe even 7 years, I think, at the end of this year. But what we have done is we've alternated it with a couple of other different types of diet or lifestyle plans. And so currently what we're doing is whenever we feel like we need kind of a breakthrough, or we're looking for a little bit more weight reduction or a little bit less inflammation or something like that, we like to jump into the ketogenic diet. Now, the ketogenic diet is very similar to the paleo diet, except for the fact that we are looking at eliminating some other foods that we are trying to maintain a threshold of our macronutrients. And let me talk about macronutrients for a little bit. So on the normal paleo diet, if you're at about 40 to say maybe 60 grams of what we call net carbs, and I'll talk about net carbs here in a second, but if you're at 40 to 60 grams of carbohydrates throughout the day, that's about the benchmark for being on the paleo diet. Now, ketogenic diets, on the other hand, or ketogenic lifestyle, you're trying to restrict your carbohydrate intake even more. And there are some definite proven scientific medical benefits to actually restricting the carbohydrates even more. And like I said, I'll talk about those in a few. So let's talk about net carbs, right? So when you look at the back of the package of whatever food you're going to consume, or you look up the nutrition information of whatever food you're going to consume, there are a couple different ways that carbohydrates are listed. The very first thing is that it'll say total carbohydrates. So let's just say that, you pick up a package of food that you want to consume on, say, your paleo diet or even your ketogenic diet, and let's just say that it has 6 grams of total carbohydrate. That is any macro carbohydrate that is inside that package, and always pay attention to the amount of servings that are also in that package, because say if you pick up, you're not going to find a only 6 gram package of, say, rice or something like that, but if there's 4 servings of rice in it and we have 6 total carbohydrates in each serving, then obviously, if we do simple math, 6 times 4, we're actually eating 24 grams of carbohydrates. And now let's talk about carbohydrates. So carbohydrates provide 4 kilocalories of energy per gram. That's what the body can look at. Okay. And so when we look at total calories and things like that, we take the amount that is 6 in my example, multiply that by 4. And so therefore we are getting 24 kilocalories out of our 2000 calories on average that the daily, you know, American eats, whether it be plus or minus based upon your nutritional needs. But that's where we're coming at. And that's how we get those food calories as well. And so let's just, once again, for this example, we're going to take our 6 grams of whatever food we're eating, But underneath that, the next listing that is a subcategory of carbohydrates is something called dietary fiber. Now, dietary fiber is going to be both of your soluble and insoluble fibers. On the ketogenic diet, you can subtract those dietary fiber grams from the total carbohydrates in order to come up with something called net carbs. The net carbs are actually what is being calculated for your carbohydrate intake throughout your day. And so on the ketogenic diet, usually in a day, we are looking for 20 grams of carbohydrates, 20 grams of net carbs per day or less. And so if I'm taking, and this package of food has, say 4 grams of dietary fiber, I can take my 6, I will subtract 4 from it, and I get 2 net carbs. Always make sure that you also pay attention to the amount of sugars that are inside of it as well, because with the ketogenic diet, if it is a different type of sweetener that is not something like a cane sugar or, you know, regular white sugar or something like that, say it's something like stevia, those also can usually be looked at in terms of degrading, or should say subtracting from the total carbs in order to get your net carbs. So like I said before, the target on the wall is 20 grams of net carbs per day or less on the ketogenic diet. So what that's going to do is that's going to place your body, if you're following it appropriately. Some people will go into this sort of condition pretty quickly. Some folks actually might take up to a couple of weeks, but you will put your body into a state of ketosis. Ketosis, whenever you hear the OSIS in medical literature, it actually just simply means a condition of or a state of. And so it's a state of having ketones inside of your body, or actually inside of your bloodstream. That can be measured, just like you can do a urine dipstick for, you know, determining if you have any sugar in your urine. You can actually do a dipstick as well to determine if you have ketones, and if so, what is the level of ketones that you might currently have inside of your body according to this urine dipstick. And so when we look at the ketosis, we are trying to place our body into a state where the glucose, or the simple sugar, as well as the glycogen, which is a more complex stored version of sugar, predominantly in the liver, and then it's also a little bit more so in the skeletal muscles, as well as smooth muscles of the body. But anyway, we're trying to consume those glucose and glycogen stores in order to try to convert our bodies to become more fat burning. Fat is there for a reason. Fat is one of the most dense, it is the most dense macronutrient that you can consume. Your body will store additional carbohydrates as well as additional proteins as fat. It can convert them. There are some metabolic processes that will help your body do that. And so that's how we actually gain weight. That's how we gain fat weight. Well, we want to make sure that we turn our bodies, when we look at ketogenesis, we want to turn our bodies into fat burning machines instead of sugar burning machines. We'll get into a lot of the medical research that has shown a lot of the benefits and things like that, but being able to become fat burners rather than being a sugar burner will in fact help a person lose weight, if that's also the most common goal for people who want to do the ketogenic diet. All right, lastly, let's talk about what we talk about for the podcast, and that's intermittent fasting. Well, intermittent fasting is similar to ketogenic. It's similar to the ketogenic lifestyle in the sense, though, that we are looking at a period of time now that we are going to consume our calories. Now, for me, for example, I try to have a 16-hour fast. You can have something I've seen as low as 12. You can have something as high as, 24 if you want to do it for a full day. But I shoot for 16 hours, which means from the period of time from about noon until roughly 6, or I'd say probably about noon to about 6 or 7, that is my window of being able to eat. So I'll usually eat lunch, I'll usually have a snack in between, and then I usually will have a nice dinner as well. And so when I finally get to it, about 8 hours throughout my day, I'm awake and I'm able to eat. I do my fast while I consume my very last calorie of the day, into my bedtime, and then I sleep, and the entire time I'm actually fasting. And so what we are doing is we're looking at intermittent fasting as a way of not necessarily saying we're going to put a limitation on calories, we're not going to limitation on making you feel deprived, and we're not going to actually put some sort of a weight loss strategy. You will lose weight on the ketogenic diet. You will lose weight on intermittent fasting if you actually be able to follow intermittent fasting the way it's supposed to. There is a way of looking at inflammation, right? So like inflammation, we have started to see scientific evidence that inflammation can be caused by dairy as well as different types of starches inside of the body. And so with intermittent fasting or even ketogenesis, first of all, we're not consuming those excess carbohydrates, but then we also try to look at consuming few to little amounts of dairy as well. So cheese, milk, yogurt, those sorts of things. We try to reduce those as well because I've noticed a absolute difference in my knee pain, my back pain, my neck pain, my shoulder pain, you know, those types of things, because I feel that overall the inflammation in my body has in fact reduced. Intermittent fasting is also linked to better blood sugar balance. So for you diabetics out there, this might be something that you may want to really look into because it will help give you better control of those blood sugars as well in order to help you with your condition of diabetes. Lastly, there is a lot of research that is being found about having an increased amount of cognitive function. Cognitive function is simply just brain power, folks. We are looking at being able to have better focus and being able to have a better memory and really be able to just restore ourselves in such a way that we're able to combat a lot of the stresses and adversarial things that happen throughout our day. And so what is really exciting about the intermittent fasting protocol is that we are looking at the ability to possibly help with cancer, all right, because cancer loves sugar, and also be able to combat Alzheimer's disease. And so there is a lot of research being done right now, and it is showing very good promise for both short and long-term effects of intermittent fasting. We want to be able to simplify our lifestyle, right? So I said it before and I'll say it again, that the way that a diet, or I should say once again, a way that a lifestyle actually works is we need to consume foods that are going to actually taste good. Because I tell you what, if you can give me all the foods in the world that I know that are going to be good for me, but it tastes like slop or it tastes like dirt, I'm not going to eat it and I'm not going to follow a lifestyle at all. Okay? So make sure that when you look at this, let me give you a couple of like, I'm going to give you five action steps to really help you be able to look at why I would consider intermittent fasting as a lifestyle that I would love to follow, and then how can I actually get it done in order to be able to implement it and start actually getting results, okay? So what we're looking at is, say, first of all, it requires the correct mindset and the correct way of looking at how can I be successful on it. Well, the good news is that we are going to stray away from the typical American diet. The typical American diet tells us to eat 3 or 4 meals a day, make sure that we eat them within a breakfast window, a lunch window, a dinner window, and then maybe even a snack before bed window. Well, that gets thrown out of the window when we actually look at doing intermittent fasting. Instead, we should be looking at a more natural way, which is like we get up, we start doing some things, and then we actually start consuming within a certain window, say 11 or 12, and we can consume for a couple of times throughout that day up to about maybe 6 or an 8 hour period. And then from that point forward, we're not even eating anymore. Okay. So these are the most popular methods. This is step one, is to understand the most popular methods to be able to implement the intermittent fasting protocol as quickly as you can to be successful as you can. Okay. So during these fasting periods, I recommend water only. Now, when you wake up, and if you've been a creature of habit like I have, when I was in the military, I always wanted to have breakfast. Breakfast was a meal that I ate at 7 o'clock in the morning after I had worked out for the morning every single day. Okay. 7:30, 8 o'clock, I was eating. Instead, now I have something called a bulletproof coffee. Now, bulletproof was created by a gentleman by the name of Dave Asprey, and you could probably go check out his podcast. He has the bulletproof protocol or the bulletproof podcast on whatever device you're listening to, and he's a wealth of information. But what a bulletproof coffee is essentially, it is a coffee that does not have any type of sweetener in it other than maybe stevia, but you're really adding something called MCT oil to it, and then you're also going to add some sort of fat. And usually that fat is butter. Butter is what makes the bulletproof coffee a bulletproof coffee. And so that fat is to be there to help sustain you and to help give your body the feeling of satiation in order to be able to help you get from that period of you being up until you have your first meal of the day. Folks, I wake up at 5:30 in the morning every single day, and I'm actually not really even that hungry until about noon because I have my bulletproof coffee in the morning. The MCT oil stands for medium chain triglycerides, which is another great way of getting a different type of a good fat into your body in order to help sustain you to get you into your intermittent fasting window. Plus, of course, great benefits of having caffeine. You can go ahead and Google all those. There's definitely a really good benefit being shown to having caffeine as long as we just make sure that we don't do it too much. So that's how I get through my morning fast period of time until I get to my window. So anyway, the three different methods that you can do is the 16-8 method. That's pretty much what I do. I do the 16-8 method. It's the lean gains protocol. You skip your breakfast and you actually only eat for about a period of 8 hours, and whatever 8 hours you want it to be, make it that 8 hours. If you want to if you want to start off a little on the easier side and say like you want to go from like 10 until like about 6, that can be your window. If you want to make it 1 to 9, if you want to make it 12 to 8, whatever you want to do, have about an 8 hour period, and then you fast for the 16 hours after that. Then you have an eat, stop, eat. So you actually will fast for 24 hours once or twice a week, and then actually go ahead and have dinner usually the next day in order to be able to keep your fasting going on. And then there's a 5-2 diet. Usually you have only about 500 or 600 calories on non-consecutive days of the week, but then you kind of eat normally the other two diets. Now I've seen the 5-2 diet be used a little bit more so and like say someone who is like a an endurance athlete or something like that. So I would normally say that the people that actually do the 16-8 method, like what I'm doing, is kind of the most sustainable and the easiest to usually stick to, okay? So then we have to look at the correct mindset. Let's go to step two. Step two is let's look at now what the types of changes are going to happen inside of your body and the things that we're knowing that we're doing good for our body, right? So the levels of growth hormone, all right? So human growth hormone or HGH have actually been seen to increase as much as fivefold. And that is massive because that helps for fat loss, muscle gain, just to name a couple of those benefits. Insulin sensitivity improves. So the cells that might say, like, wow, I'm so burned out because you have so many carbohydrates, those receptors can actually improve and you can actually make body fat more accessible. In addition to, the cells are able to repair really, really well because they can remove dysfunctional proteins, right? And then gene expression is really nice because that helps upregulate our capabilities of being able to have a boosted immune system. So very, very good. But then here's number three. Number three is also, it's a very powerful weight loss tool. Okay. It actually can help with hormone regulation. Okay. It increases HGH, like we already said, and then it actually will help with fat burning because, like I said before, you become a fat burner, okay? Your metabolic rate can actually improve with short-term fasting. Some studies I've seen, it can do up to about 13 to 14%, okay? So you can actually lose some belly fat, and that's a really good thing because when we have visceral belly fat, like what men do, is we usually put our weight like right around our abdomen itself instead of a female who usually puts it around their hips and their waistline and even their thighs. Men have it a little bit more north than that, and that's what causes a lot of damage to the organs because they have to work extra hard because there's a bunch of fat in the way. So it can actually help with belly fat as well. So number four, though, is some health benefit stuff. I talked about briefly, it can help with weight loss. It really can help with inflammation, okay, because with chronic disease, we have a lot of problems with inflammation. It actually can reduce or it may reduce bad LDL cholesterol, and it's really good for brain health, and it's also really great for anti-aging, okay? So how do we make it really simple to actually create a sustainable, maintainable lifestyle? Well, this is number five. Number five is that it can actually make your benefits simpler, or I should say, it can make your eating habits simpler. You can pre-prepare food. You can pre-prepare some different types of meats. Vegetables are unbelievably fast. You just go to your ice box, if you will, and just grab what you need. You make yourself a nice salad. And so that's the reason why it's really nice, especially among people who are looking for, you know, different ways of being able to sort of hack their lives and stuff like that. So it's really, really, really good. All right. So as always, we want to make sure that we look at speaking with our healthcare professional when it comes to considering a new type of eating plan. So make sure that you consult with your doctors before you actually try intermittent fasting, because we want to make sure that, you know, you look at certain things like you have problems with your blood sugar, you have bad blood pressure, you're taking medications, you're over or underweight, and things like that. So make sure that you actually do discuss this with your healthcare provider before you get going. Because if you have your healthcare provider in your corner, then guess what? You're going to be able to follow intermittent fasting a lot better. Okay. You can actually, really get yourself going extremely fast. It's extremely easy. It can be a very powerful tool for you to help you lose weight, improve your health. I'm going to tell you right now that I'm doing it myself and I feel fantastic when I follow the baseline of ketogenesis. But really the biggest thing is that I'm following my intermittent fasting protocol as well. So anyway, that's all I've got. Make sure that you run this by your healthcare provider as always. Super important to make sure that you have a good team environment there. Have an accountability partner. That's one last thing that is a bonus tip that I want to give you is that, you know, my wife and I do this protocol together. And I tell you what, it makes it a lot easier because we're both looking out for each other. We both help prepare the meals and we are both making sure that we stay accountable to one another because really our health depends upon it just like yours. And so anyway, I love you guys. I think that being able to bring this intermittent fasting podcast to you today, I hope that you have found some value in it. Go back, re-listen, and definitely make sure that you hit that subscribe button so you can continue to get this great content. And also make sure that you please give us a rating, a review, and tell somebody else about this because we want to be here to help you reach your goals and live an unconventional wellness lifestyle. So until then, I'm Frank Ritz. I appreciate your time and I cannot wait to see you guys on our very next podcast. Take care, everybody. Oh man, I sure do love bringing you this podcast. And while we're at it, if you like this podcast, please hit that subscribe button so you can always be getting notifications when we upload a new podcast. And always, as we love, go ahead and click on that review button, click on that like button, send this podcast to a friend because we all could use every bit of education that we could in order to maximize the potential for our wellness. We will catch you guys on the next podcast. Thanks again.